This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ وَقَالَ الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٍ فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ وَقَالَ وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained on mankind to do hajj to the house. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For Allah, it's an obligation towards Allah on mankind to do hajj to the house, whoever has the ability. And we are in the days of hajj. We are in the season of hajj. And it's very important for us to remind ourselves of the great reality and the great lessons and the great importance related to this wonderful obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. Because hajj, even though it is just once in a lifetime, but it is the journey of a lifetime. It is a journey for that individual, the community, the society, the ummah, to witness so many great things. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, that they witness the great benefits that Allah has put in this period of hajj. Because hajj is something that started ever since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. And in some traditions that Adam alayhi salam was the first person to erect al-Baytul Haram. He was the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed to build the Baytul Haram. Especially when Adam alayhi salam felt a longing to go back to al-Jannah. So Allah instructed him to build the bayt and to do tawaf around the house. So he felt that comfort. And ever since then, the prophets of Allah, the messengers of Allah have continued to do the hajj. With Nuh alayhi salam, and after the flood, Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed to reconstruct the house. And Musa and Yunus and all the prophets. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was doing hajj, he said, I can see Musa. I can see Musa there standing on his camel doing the talbiyah. And he moved a little bit more and said, here I can see Yunus doing the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. So hajj is that continuity. The continuity that the ummah, and by ummah here, the ummah that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ummah of tawheed, the ummah who believe in the one God, from Adam alayhi salam right through the prophets throughout the ages. There is that continuity in that practice. And there is a continuity in the space as well. Having to feel the greatness, to step in the same footsteps of these great people. These great people of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. From the prophets and the messengers and from the righteous people. From the sahaba and the great tabi'een and the scholars. Can you imagine this one spot in the whole of the globe, which Muslims through generations have touched and kissed that spot, which is the black stone. You can feel that continuation. You feel that you as an individual, you are not alone. Neither in history, neither in space, neither in place. You are part of this great, the great beings to be associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj is about answering the call of Allah. And that's why the person who makes the hajj, his first words are Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Labbaik, O Allah, I answer your call. I am here, I am at your service. So it is about answering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and announcing your true ubudiyah, your slavery to Allah. Because some people today will dismiss Hajj as an act of rituals which are just simplistic rituals. They have no real significance. How are they going to change the reality of the world? But actually there is an important attainment for the individual. Because when you go to Hajj, you realize the great lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown you. And you can witness it firsthand. You witness firsthand how this land that was barren, there was nothing there. There was not even any trees, as Ibrahim alayhi salam described. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. No trees, no plants, barren land, no water. But yet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Hajar and his son Ismail all demonstrating the family sacrifice. And Ibrahim leaves the family there. Anybody of us today would find that very difficult to leave their family, their wife and their son in a place where there's nobody. You don't know what kind of dangers, you don't know what kind of provisions, but he leaves them. And Hajar, the believing wife, she says to Ibrahim, did Allah order you to leave us here? He said, yes. She said, therefore Allah will not let us go to waste. Allah will not lose us. Allah will protect us and save us. So you see that firsthand when you go to Hajj. You see the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you do tawaf around the house. You feel that you are synchronized with the rest of those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just the humans, but the jinn and the angels who all do tawaf around the house, whether it's here on the globe or whether it's the extension into Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, the constructed house which is extended above the heavens. They are all doing tawaf. And again, you sense that you are part of something great. Those angels, those mighty creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't think about how great and how to think about how Allah is in terms of His shape or His size, or is it because that is something you will not be able to comprehend. But think about the creation of Allah. One angel of Allah, the distance between his earlobe to the end of his shoulder is a distance of 500 years of traveling on a fast horse. 500 years on a fast horse. That's just distance between his ear and shoulder. And this is one of the angels of Allah. So this great angels, they are all on the same, they are on your side. They're on the same side. Because they are all worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are all slaves to Allah. And Hajj is the announcement of that ubudiyah. That I come to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to be in sync with the rest of the creation. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj. He says, do you not see? Do you not see? Do you not comprehend? That to Allah prostrates all that is in the heavens and in the earth, and the sun and the moon and the mountains, they all prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, and many of mankind also prostrate to Allah. But there are also many of mankind who, unfortunately, because they don't prostrate, حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابِ, the punishment of Allah will be due to them, because they don't want to be in sync with the rest of the universe that is all orbiting in sync with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to Hajj, Hajj is about realizing the community. It's about seeing people there, meeting people from different aspects, people who have come from all the different places of the world today. Today, it's easy relatively to go to Hajj. You get on a plane a few hours and you're there. But in the past, it was a journey which took a long time. Two people from the early centuries, they were doing tawaf and they got speaking to each other. And one of them asked, he said, where have you come from? How far? He said, I've come from so and so. It took me about a month to get here. He said, well, therefore you are like the neighbor. You are the neighbor of the Mecca. He said, why? How long did it take you here to get here? He said, it took me 3 years to get here. 3 years to get to, because it was that journey. And many times people in the past, they left their houses thinking and believing that they may not come back. That was it. They were going to go there and they may not come back. Because Hajj is there to design to make you realize who you are and where you are. To make you realize what your true reality is. Because everybody there goes, everybody is equal in terms of their status. They all submit before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all wear the same dress. To signify that nobody has any priority over anybody else. There is no preference for any race over any other race. No preference for Arab over non-Arab, or non-Arab over Arab, or black over white, or white over black. Everybody is equal. And everybody witnesses this and sees this firsthand. And people have changed their realities when they saw this. People like the famous Malcolm X, who from the Hajj, he changed his reality. And he changed his understanding after thinking that there was a superiority for the black race. He saw firsthand through Hajj. And that's what Hajj gives. You wear these two white gowns to signify and to remind you that you entered into this life with nothing. You entered naked and you are wrapped around in these white clothes, usually in towels. And when you die, you will be wrapped around in these white clothes again. So it is a whole journey that starts and ends there. And that's why the significance of Hajj, if you really understand and attain the power of Hajj, you do all the great things that you need to do in Hajj. You don't argue, you don't shout, you don't cause commotion, you don't cause evil, then you will attain the ultimate reward of Hajj, which is to come back the day that you're like your mother, the same day like your mother gave birth to you, free of all sins. And the other reward is Al-Jannah. وَلَيْسَ لِلْحَجِّ الْمَبْرُورِ جَزَاءً إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ The Prophet ﷺ said, the correct righteous Hajj will have no reward less than Al-Jannah. So Hajj gives us that message, gives us that purity, gives us that understanding that we need to attain. As people go and they witness the ritual of throwing the stones, they remember the temptation of the shaitan to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they remember the temptations that they go through on a day-to-day life. So with every stone that they throw, they are throwing at their temptation. Because the devil that you need to fight is the devil within you, the nafs. That's what you need to be throwing the stones at, which pulls you towards the desires and the difficult things. And as you present your slaughter, you are presenting and remembering the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has bestowed on you with the virtue of money, the virtue of ability, the virtue of sacrifice. And not just about sacrificing physical things, but it's about sacrificing your time, sacrificing your effort, sacrificing your life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Say, my salah, my rituals, my life, and my death are all for Allah, رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the Lord of the worlds. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه The rituals of Hajj are many and there's not enough time to talk about them in these few minutes. But it's very important for us to understand Hajj, even if we are not going on Hajj. Because Hajj is about understanding those lessons. and learning from those lessons. And that's why it is compulsory on everybody to go. Because at least once in your lifetime you have to go to witness firsthand and to see those and to have that connection with the people of the past and with the history and with those people around you, and to realize one of the biggest tragedy that we need to realize today, which we can see, and we don't need to go to Hajj to see this, but you can see it in Hajj. When you are there and you see millions of Muslims are all there. Millions of Muslims are all there. They all stand in one row. They all face the same Qibla. They're all doing the same sha'air, the same nusuk, the same rituals, the same practices. They're all wearing the same clothes. They're all doing the same thing. For all intents and purposes, their Quran is one. Their Lord is one. Their Rasul is one. They should be one. But unfortunately, they are as dispersed as there are as many Muslims there are. Everyone's heart is differing, varying. Those who hold grudges, those who have enmity, those who fight each other, all with these fake borders that are being placed in the Muslim world today. People have made up sometimes fake tribes, or you know, they have the loyalty to their tribes, and they have the loyalty to the skin color, and the loyalty to the language that they, and sometimes loyalty to the caste, and it's really a shame that whilst you see this and you see these united together in terms of their purpose and aims and objectives, but they are different. And that should be a wake up for everyone. Today, if just a group of people come together, they can serve so much purpose. So how about when a million people come together? How about when 10? How about when a billion Muslims have their heart focused on achieving one thing? They will not have all the calamities that are happening today. There will not be one single Muslim, and indeed not one single human, starving in the world today. If the focus was there. There will not be one single problem that's happening today in the world if there was a focus, because the lesson of Hajj is sacrifice. It's about selflessness. It's about giving. It's about caring for others. It's about being patient. It's about all the good things that humanity wants today. And that is the ultimate lesson that we have to learn. And while we're entering today in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, it's an opportunity for us who are not going to Hajj to live the days of Hajj. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no days in which the good deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days, starting today. There are no days in which the good deeds are more beloved to Allah. So whatever you do of good deeds, they are beloved to Allah in these days. So it's a great opportunity to reap the reward from Allah. It's another one of those pit stops that Allah has given us to refresh in ourselves, to revive in our spirits, to harvest the good deeds. So if you haven't fasted today, make your intention to fast tomorrow and the rest of the 10 days. And make your intention that every day you're going to be doing extra acts of ibadah, dhikr. Increase your takbir in these days. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Increase your charity. Increase your good morals, your good behavior. Ask about those people who have you disconnected with. Ask about your neighbors. Do good to the person on the street. Read more Quran, more adhkar, more salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything you do is going to be good and is going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make use of these days. And the other way is not to miss out on the great opportunity of Udhiyah as well, a great deed to carry out, which happens after Eid. But start preparing now. If you have the money, give it now to the charities or whatever. If you're going to do the Udhiyah locally, whatever, but plan it so that inshallah you will not miss out on this great act. which some ulama say is wajib, others say it's sunnah, others say it's fardu kifayah, lots of different opinions. Whatever it is, don't miss out. Even Imam Shafi said, he said it's makruh for somebody not to do it. So at the very least, you must try and do this udhiyah, this great du'a. So by doing this, you are experiencing, you are living al-hajj in your day-to-day life as well. Even though you are not there in the place, you are there with your body, with your heart, with your spirit, inshaAllah ta'ala. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا وعفو عنا اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت